morning, Stephanie Matthews, Research at the Committee.
Good morning, Jenna Kuto, Research at the Committee.
Good morning, Chairperson. I am Langa Mashangin, support staff.
Good morning,
I'm not support staff. My name, I'm a researcher from Center for the Society.
Good morning, I'm Oluyinka from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Thank you.
No, thank you. I think in front of us, we have our agenda. The purpose of today's meeting is to consider an adoption of the C-List on Disaster Management Amendment Bill. In that note, I will therefore take this opportunity directly to the COPTA director, chief director, to therefore take us through the city. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I believe that the members of the committee received the fee list that was prepared by the central advisor. And we have also distributed the clause-by-clause response to the provinces in terms of the negotiated mandate. So we would like to propose the C-list today for your consideration.
Yeah, no, thanks. I think it will be proper that, Director, you just briefly take us through the list itself before members perhaps will take their own...
Yes, sure, sorry. I just want to get to the correct document. Okay, thank you. So if you... I think we have all received the bill as it is. So the first amendment is on page 4, for clause 2, and what is recommended that we add representatives of national umbrella organizations for women, children, the elderly, and people with disabilities, that they can form part of the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum. Okay. I'm not going to go through the technical, the numbering, that is just the result of the content changes. So if you allow me to skip that, I'll just go to the content issues. Thank you. Then we have recommended a new clause, insertion of section 31A, and that is to make provision for staff of the provincial disaster management centers. That is in response to capacity challenges that were raised by various provinces, and that is in line with what is indicated in the Principal Act for the National Disaster Management Center. So we're adding the staff of the provincial disaster management center consists of the head of the provincial disaster management center and suitably qualified persons designated by the head of the department within which the provincial disaster management center is established. Okay? Then, if we go to clause 12, the one in the people has been rejected. That is just because of a new insertion to allow for traditional leaders. The original clause talked about the national house that will nominate representatives, so this was replaced by allowing the provincial house of traditional leaders to nominate the members. Okay. The next one, that is clause 13B. And that is just a duplication of the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum. to make provision for representatives of provincial umbrella organizations for women, children, the elderly, and people with disabilities. So it's just to make sure that we take it through across the spheres of government. On clause 13, that is on page 5, we omit clause 13 and then substitute it with 14, and we're adding a new clause just to allow for the provincial disaster management plan to be in line with the national and the municipal disaster management plan. So there's a whole paragraph, but it's not really anything new. It's just to align it. Then there's another new clause, insertion of Section 45A in the Act, and that talks about staff of the Municipal Disaster Management Centre. That is once again in line with what we have indicated before on the establishment of a Provincial Disaster Management Centre, to make sure that there's also adequately trained and suitably qualified persons appointed in the administration of the municipality. I just see there's one mistake in this. See that it says the head of the Provincial Disaster Management Centre, but it must be the head of the Municipal Disaster Management Centre. I think there was an oversight. If we can just ask the state to advise to amend that. Then if we go to amendment of Section 51, it's another new clause, thank you. And once again, it's to be in line with the statements across the spheres of government to ensure that the traditional leaders for the Municipal Disaster Management Forum is elected from the local House of Traditional Leaders. And once again, the addition of umbrella organizations for women, children, the elderly, and people with disabilities to be represented. Okay, clause 18, there is just one addition that talks about the appropriate mechanisms, processes, and procedures established in terms of Chapter 4 of the Local Government Municipal Systems Act to consult the local community on the preparation and amendment of its plan. That is just to make sure that the communities are also part of the process in terms of the existing procedures and mechanisms that are in place. And that's it.
Thanks. Yeah, true, madam. Thank you. I think before we deliberate on this amendment, I would first ask the, our parliamentary legal advisor to check or if he has anything that he wants to comment on this in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've spoken to the state law to both state law advisors, Mr. Small and Mr. Owen. And I've spoken to him about the fee list. And from my side, from the Parliamentary Legal Advisors Office, we do not have any concerns with the fee list. So we're in agreement with the contents thereof.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Therefore, I will therefore go to our honorable members. I think the fee list is with us just for us to adopt it so that we consolidate it into D list for our provinces to do their final mandate. I don't know if there are any concerns from the members that they think they should raise in regard to the C list proposed amendments, as we last had a more intense debate on these issues. I see a hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a reminder, it's Dimitri Kori from SELGA. Chair, what is not covered and remains a fundamental concern of Solgate is the funding. References made in the clause-by-clause response document, if one looks on page 8, I think it is, at section 4.3b, it says at the beginning that specific funding is not allocated through legislation for disaster risk reduction efforts across the spheres of government. And then in the third paragraph it says, for instance, local government has access to two conditional grants providing funding for declared disasters to provide immediate response and longer term rehabilitation respectively should their own resources prove to be inadequate. Similarly, the local government's own revenues and and the institutional or community services components of the local government equitable share are available to municipalities to co-fund the development of disaster management plans, which forms part of the normal operational activity that is performed by municipalities. We do understand that a task team has been set up and SOGA has participated in two of these meetings. So this task team is supposed to look at the general funding for disaster management across the three spheres of government and to prepare a proposal how it can be improved. As this work is only proceeding now and the budget forum for the next financial year is taking place next week, no funding will be included in the next financial year for municipalities for disaster management. The aspect of funding for disaster management at local level was raised in the winter budget forum as part of the unfunded mandate, but was not resolved upon. Therefore, funding is not provided for disaster management in the NTEF. Although COCTA is insisting that funding is available through the three mechanisms, the equitable share, conditional grants, and own revenue, SELGA still strongly disputes this. Conditional grants, for example, apply only to actual disasters and not funding for the provision of disaster management function. Chairperson, we believe that this is a fundamental flaw in the process. It has been raised before and will continue to be raised by SELGA. Let me emphasize that SELGA is fully in agreement that we need to look at disaster management and to improve. Worldwide experiences in recent months have highlighted the importance of this function. We've had our own disasters to cope for as well. But there is no point in going ahead with legislation and assigning functions or obligations on local government which are inadequately funded. We are then creating the trappings of a solution but not actually providing a solution. So let's not ignore the elephant in the room, let's address it.
Thank you. Before perhaps we go to, I think, Honourable Members to Commission.
Yes,
Honourable Chairman.
You know, Chairperson, it's lucky you're doing this now. I'm constantly putting a vote of no confidence, but okay. On a more serious note, Chair, I think I must agree with the father that I'm a bit astounded about the fact that each and every province has presented us with a negotiating mandate, raised the concerns about this being an unfunded mandate. We insisted at the meeting about the fact that this has to be lifted. And just to quote you, Chair, at the meeting we raised the concern that in the Eastern Cape, there was an issue where there's a court case for $600 million jointly with Kolkata Municipality and South Boston District Municipality. And these were the issues we said that councils do not have sufficient funding to carry out their core business of service delivery. And now the impact of what disaster management has upon their budget does not suffice. And again, I'm amazed that the officials did not think it as important that there is no mention of that. Or the fact that provinces have raised that. They've taken into consideration the issue around the citizen leaders, which I do appreciate because that was the second concern that was raised by the provinces.
But key to all of this was the unfunded mandate. Every single province, there is a concern. We were told that there was a SEALCO with National Treasury discussing the matter about the funding. And yet we do not even see a report speaking to them. Now, with all due respect, Chairperson, we also represent our provinces here. I'm from KZN, and I know clearly what the spokesperson that came in here told us they wanted. I mean, for me to not say I'm agreeing to this and sending this down, my honorable group and Zamandi as well, we both will be roasted in the province. As is to say, did we not hear exactly what KZN's negotiating mandate was? It's silence on this. And can we please have an answer on that, Chairperson?
Thanks. I take it as that all members will be raising the very same concern, because it was sharply raised by all the provinces, the issue of unfunded mandate and budget as well. I see Honorable Wana before perhaps we go to the department. Thank you.
One repeat, because I'm sure the people are designing this amendment, maybe the legal people are doing this. They are aware that we have been talking about this issue funding. My question is, in this representative of National Umbrella Organization, this thing is not clear to me, because if they said this must be established with for in terms of figurative, with 5 or with 10 people and act as board on some stage. Because when you come with many organizations, it's going to be a big thing that is not going to have powers, and they're not going to share the purpose of this disaster management bill. If they cannot be figurative enough so that we say no, this figure is too big, because if you allow it to go, all the organization to be in this thing, it's going to have its own problems, and it won't move as we expected to do some an impact. Secondly, the issue of traditional leaders, are they going to sit in that this strategic platform? Or if they are there, that means their local places are going to be covered by the outcome of this. If there's a disaster, let us say, if there's a disaster, the chief is going to go there and report, or it will, the chiefs will always be there when there's a sitting. I want to declare it.
Department should therefore take us, because I remember that time when we spoke about the processes, you also alluded on issues of money deals, sections, and so on. Perhaps you can recap for us and take us further on this issue. Thank you. Well, there's still another follow-up.
In page 2, staff of provincial disaster management, suitable qualified persons. I know they cannot designate it to head, but what credentials are they expected to be recognized and sit as head of this? Thank you very much.
I think now it will go to you. I see the direct questions, perhaps that need clarities and on issues of funded mandates. And the issue of figuring the figurative numbers of the representatives, including the qualities or the capacity that you require for a person to sit at the head. Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the specific questions with regards to the representation of umbrella organizations. The intention of the advisory forums is to discuss matters of disaster management in their specific area of responsibility. So we need to have those forums inclusive of everyone that has a role to play in disaster management. And while we do agree that that can be quite a large number of people, and that is why we want to have representatives and not every single organization. For instance, if you look at a local municipality, for instance, or a metro, there might be many different organizations working, you know, to the cause of women, children, and the elderly. So we cannot accommodate all of that. So that is why we're talking about umbrella organizations, so that we have a representative that can also then take the message to those different organizations. So indeed, we cannot have a forum that have each and every organization represented. Then in terms of the credentials of the head of the center, in South Africa, there has been a lot of progress with regards to formal qualifications of people working in disaster management. The Disaster Management Institute of South Africa has recently also been acknowledged or recognized by the National Qualifications Act as the professional body for disaster management, and it requires people to have a degree and certain managerial skills and decision-making skills and so on. There's also provision for the minister in the amendment bill to make regulations on education, training, and public awareness, and that it will include certain qualifications or requirements necessary for the appointment of physical qualified persons. In the traditional leaders, yes, that is also why we have included, once again, a representative of the traditional health of the specific sphere in the advisory forum, and not all. Okay. Okay, now the thorny issue of funding. Okay. We acknowledge that funding is a challenge, but it is not a unique challenge for disaster management. We have obtained a legal opinion from the SACO advisors, specifically with regards to the issue of unfunded mandates. That was discussed and deliberated on during the process in the national or with the portfolio committee. And we also had National Treasury make a presentation to the committee to clarify the issue of funding. So just to refer you to the opinion of the state law advisor, what they have indicated, what we have also said from the beginning, is that the amendment bill does not bring about a new function for local government. It's an existing function. It is a function that has been there since the promulgation of the Act in 2003. That is, the Disaster Management Act of 2002 was promulgated in 2003. So since then, a lot of progress has been made in terms of disaster management. Disaster management centers have been established. The function has been established in the country. As a matter of fact, there are 62 disaster management centers across the spheres of government. So a lot of progress has been made, but not without challenges, of course, and not without fighting for funds. But it remains the responsibility of each sphere of government to give the necessary priority to disaster management within the area of responsibility, to make funding available within the budget structures. What we have tried to do since this process has unfolded is to really look at what are the challenges, what are the problems that we can address through the existing mechanisms, and how can we optimize those mechanisms. And as representatives from SALGA also indicated, we have had meetings with the task team, and we are making progress. It will not be for the next financial year, but we're trying to set up a proposal in terms of looking at new ways of optimizing the existing framework and to look at ways of how we can address the challenges. And I must also indicate that a lot of progress has been made in terms of providing for grant funding, specifically for when disasters occur. So that is our understanding.
Director, in regard to this task team that has been established to check whether what mechanism they can use in issues of funding and so on, can you brief us on that progress?
Yes. We have just received feedback from the various task team members on homework, if I can call it that, that they had to undertake in terms of in their existing environment what contributions they can do and what are the specific areas of questions that we will put forward, because we are planning to do some research in local municipalities specifically to determine what are the challenges, the real challenges, so that it's not something that is just, you know, a theory, that we can really understand what are the challenges, what are they struggling with, if they don't have funding, why don't they have, what are the processes in that municipality, because we've also realized that the situation differs across the country. So what we are targeting, we have identified like a methodology of how we're going to target those municipalities, you know, to do this study on. So we will look at municipalities that are those that are not well resourced, that, you know, that is maybe that is, we refer to many times as those that are struggling, and also those that are prone to disasters, so that we can look at, you know, what is really happening on the ground.
Honourable Member says, I think, I don't know if there is anything perhaps to Honourable Demande and Honourable
maybe I want to make a proposal. Maybe let's just take on the call. If the chair agrees. Chair, if you agree, then if I may continue or respond. I'm very pleased to hear that the department does acknowledge that there is an issue. But surely it's such a fundamental issue that it has to impact the timing. So here we're wanting to introduce these structures and issues with this bill or the amendment, but we're not yet ready with the funding component of it. The reality is that most district municipalities are already underfunded. Forget about any other functions that they're doing. They have very limited funding streams, and from the central fiscus, the amount that is provided to district municipalities is less than inflation, and yet the increases, for example, in salaries and wages is more than inflation. So it's a deteriorating position as far as district municipalities in particular are concerned. If one looks at the bill, the document that was handed out under section 7.3, clause 7.3, it says right at the end of that paragraph that in terms of the Local Government Municipal Structures Act, and will include various acts, and will include a financial impact study and approval from the Finance and Fiscal Commission and the Minister of Finance. Now, surely that condition has to be filled first. We can't rush ahead of this. I mean, we do need to prepare for disasters, but we're creating a separate sort of disaster. I understand that in KwaZulu-Natal that suffered severely from a draft recently, that funding was provided, but extremely late.
limited amount before, so the funding was allocated, but the money was only received months later. These are real practical issues. Let's be serious about this. Let's do it properly. Thank you.
The money. You said you wanted to give us...
Yeah, I guess in terms of the negotiated mandate that we that we tabled in the previous meeting, there is some movement in terms of some issues that have some clarity around the issues of available grant funding. But I guess the issue of planning and budgeting for the risks or managing the risks or for the prevention of disasters, I think remains an unresolved issue. And obviously we also raised an issue on the traditional participation, which I think it's then included, and the issues of the importance of the vulnerable groups or targeted groups, because there are specific ways and measures that need to be developed in how you do develop your warning systems, your interventions, in how to even developing mechanisms of evacuating certain groupings, disabled people with their various forms of disabilities, I think for the purpose of the meeting, we have received what the department and the state law advisors are saying is the C-list. I guess in terms of the process then, Chair, would be that the C-list be released formally from the committee to the legislature and the legislature's portfolio committees to engage on it and solicit the voting mandate. I think it's at that stage, so that we are further be guided by what the provinces and the legislatures are wanting us to vote on, Chair, because as being permanent delegates, we will only transact on the vote that is mandated and as delegated. So my view then, Chair, would be that let the committee then move forward with this list so that we don't delay progress by sending back the C-list and in the meantime the year is finishing. So my view, my proposal, Chair, would be that we endorse and refer the list to the provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Senator Zamandi. Yeah, before perhaps we endorse the list today, I just want one clarity from the director, in terms of the study that is being conducted. Is there any time frame for us to have a process? Which days can be given? Thank you.
At this stage, we don't have a time frame because we are still preparing the terms of reference, because, and we're also asking support from SALGA specifically in terms of helping us to conduct the research. So the committee will meet again within the next 2 weeks, and then that process will be decided upon.
In a nutshell, within 2 weeks there will be some development in regards to specifications as well. Okay. Honourable members, I think, because of course it is still a C-list that needs to be converted to D-list for our provinces to further give us a further final mandate. Can we therefore control this C-list and and of course convert it to D so that it goes to the provinces. As proposed by the mandate, is there any second on what Honorable the mandate proposed? Voila.
Chairperson, I'm seconding.
Thank you. None. Therefore, we will adopt it as this list as it is, then convert it to our provinces. It will be taken to our provinces. I think the secretary and the provinces will then decide on the actual date for the final mandate. I think from the meeting with the board, as we concluded our daily task, we therefore will move towards Soja, the meeting center, or this something else.
Just from a point of clarity, can I ask whether the task team terms of reference is also going to be referred? If it's meeting in 2 weeks, will those terms of reference that are agreed also be referred to the provinces at the same time?
I think the way they do things, they will first have to refer it to Parliament or Secretary Committee, then they will be first considered by ourselves. Therefore, then we move to the province level of the terms of reference by
Chair, it's just that you show that there is consideration or that this is being taken seriously and something is happening. Otherwise, it's just, it would appear that it's being ignored.
Honourable Zeman.
The only difficulty, Chair, technically, is that it's not our task team. And it's work that is done by the executive and stakeholders that we don't know. Perhaps it's just a matter of recommendation more than any decision to ask them to the department to alert or send or ask. We don't even know how is the task team structured. Is there a provincial task team? Is there local testing, it was just the national testing. Hence, I'm saying that that's the difficulty, that we don't know even the terms of reference of the testing. So it won't be able to assist us to take a decision on something that we're not privy to, you know. But I guess for the department to make a case, it is important, I think. We can make an emphasis on that. It is important that the case be made strongly, because I think, Chair, we're quite strong and unanimous in our view with SAC in saying that there is serious problems on legislating on funds with no funds. I think we remain. In that position, but provinces have a final say. It is a Section 76 at the end of the day.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Chairperson, I see you. Point number 6, closure. We did receive a new agenda. I think, can you just enlighten us what happened to 3, 4, and 5 on the original agenda? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Julius. they gave us the original agenda, and then they gave you a printed agenda. I think in the note of your concern, it's just a concern, of course. Our committee secretary will therefore perhaps give us a clarity what happened with point 3, point 4. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a matter of clarity, just to indicate that the secretariat of COPT security expedition, in terms of posters, when we craft a quality program with the joint management that sits down and does a joint program. Unfortunately, when we send out this agenda item, jointly, as three committees, we never met. And
and there was a proposal that before we come before the committee, the two items need to go through the joint management meeting. Thank you, Chair.
What's the implication of that? Will we then meet tomorrow with this? Or because that's, I think that's the next information that we get. And also, can we get clarity on the Makana local municipality report also? Thank you.
Honorable, I thought this portion that was being seconded and moved. We can release the department and the committee can
see
it as a committee, not with the department currently.
Okay. I think you are correct. You are precisely correct. We will deal with these committee matters once we have already released our director there from the governor and our legal advisor. But before we do that, I think we are in agreement that we concluded the C-list and we're agreeing that it should go to our provinces for final mandate. I think that is the view of the committee. And that note, the meeting stands adjourned, but our community members will remain so that I don't attend it. No, I don't attend. I'm not attending it while I'm relieving the Department of the Co-opta and our legal advisor. And yeah, we will remain with only the committee support staff and ourselves. Thank you.
Sorry.
that rather than the Patricia Conservative.
Thank you. But with regard to COPS, I would say the POPS program, we've got 5 weeks to work on the POPS. Thank you, Honorable. And from COPTA, what we have done, we have prioritized legislation and interventions before the committee. Just to say, we looked at the date for the voting mandates for disaster management bill. Two, we have noticed that in terms of referrals, we've got two notices of intervention, one in Utsorong and one in KwaZulu-Natal, in Dhaka. And we're informed by the NCOP office that we need to prioritize these two interventions. They are ending on the 12th of January 2015. Now, noting that it's our constitutional obligation to report to the House, we have prioritized those two factors, those three factors. Lastly, we are aware that Parliament, NCOP will be having this program taking parliamentary people. And then full consultation with the Whip Party. We provisionally suggested that the 20th of October will be a date for the submission of negotiating voting mandates on this bill. And on the 10th to the 11th of November, we propose to have oversight visits to Western Cape and KZN. But WIPA was of the suggestion that what we need to do collectively to get a petition security, we need to block a week where we'll be focusing on issues that affect security and issues that deal with petition, including the intervention. Thank you, Chairperson. Lastly, with regard to Magana report, the content advisor is in there to conclude the report, and to the Chairperson who was then on behalf of Honorable Buhati, I didn't see the content of the report. But I must say it was just our mistake, because this agenda, when we covered last week, Chair, there was no instruction yet from the Chair. But Chair proposed that before we told you for the committee, it needs to go through that process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable, you covered today.
Yes, I'm covered, Chair. Just want to congratulate you on chairing this meeting so well, although there's no alarm. Thank you.
Yes. No, thanks. Comrades, therefore, in that note, honorable members, in that note, therefore, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.